Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Part 41 of Liberalism, the New Improved Broad Road to Destruction. I want to welcome you all to the program. It's that time of year, towards the end of the year here now, where we've just finished this year, our elections, Thanksgiving Day, just had Thanksgiving Day, and I'm somewhere between Black Friday and the Christmas season right now, so I don't know where you are. You'll be listening to this in a few days. I'm taping this a couple days in advance. But let me just say one thing that I am so thankful for, you know, besides my salvation, of course, and besides being able to do this program, and besides my wonderful wife and my lovely dog, my good friends. But I want to say one thing I'm so thankful for in the spirit of this Thanksgiving Day is that Hillary Clinton is not the president of the United States and hopefully never will be. I think God may have given our country a little reprieve as we see the final events of Bible prophecy being fulfilled all around us. Who knows where the United States is going to be in prophecy. We don't really, it doesn't appear that we have a prominent place in Bible prophecy. But who knows where our country is going to be in general terms because of the spiritual decline that we've been going through. I think, you know, with our remaining freedoms that we have, I hope that we will all preach the gospel, defend the gospel, expose deception, and continue to serve the Lord with both guns blazing, so to speak, metaphorically speaking. And I think of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I mean 4, excuse me, 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, you've heard that scripture many times quoted on my program, and you will no doubt hear it many times again. But I hope that we will be busy about the Lord's business serving Him because of those times that we're living in right now. Now, speaking of Christmas, I'm reminded of the famous Charles Dickens novel, or novelette, whatever it was, A Christmas Carol. Y'all probably remember that. And you remember, if you do remember that, you'll remember the ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas future, or the ghost of Christmas yet to come. And in the spirit of the three ghost concept, I want to continue my study of liberalism. In this way, or in three ways. Number one, and of course, this is just kind of an introductory to the next phase of my study of liberalism. You know, I want to look at three different ghosts here. The ghost of liberalism past, the ghost of liberalism present, and the ghost of liberalism future are yet to come. Now, I might as well say this now. I was going to say this towards the end. Why am I spending so much time on the topic of liberalism? Well, I think that great opponent of the liberalism of his day, which was known as modernism, when he, as a fundamentalist, was standing up for the Word of God, defending the Word of God, said it best. His name was J. Gresham Machen. And what he said, and this quote I think has been added to by the individual who wrote it down, but anyway, this is basically his quote: "The chief modern rival of Christianity is liberalism. Modern theologies are like city buses. One passes by every few minutes, headed in a different direction. Since 1900, the year 1900, non-orthodox mythologies, man-made theories, and gospel alterations which have been promoted include the social gospel, neo-orthodoxy, also called Barthianism, and theology of crisis, demythologization, theology of secularization, situation ethics, theology of hope, theology of history, process theology of being, mysticism, plus, and this is where I think someone may have added a few notes, plus liberation theology, black theology, theology of feminism, ecological theology, postmodernism, Eastern thought, and New Age concepts. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in because I am spending, of course, a lot of time on liberalism, but I think it, you know, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, as I've spoken of and mentioned before, and as I will be mentioning again as we continue on today. But you know, we're going to be looking in this at this next in the next several podcasts, as I say, I want to be looking at what I've referred to as the ghost of liberalism past, present, and future, or yet to come, of course, as we're looking for our Lord to return, and we're looking for all the biblical prophecies as they're being fulfilled and all around us, and we see God's word coming to pass, and what part does liberalism play, etc. So, you know, I want to go into greater detail in upcoming podcasts. Today, I'm just kind of setting up the outline. In the ghost of liberalism past, we want to take a tour through history, or through really the history of the high, or actually lowlights, of this wicked deception that began with the serpent in Genesis 3. And of course, we've looked at some of the highlights. We've studied somewhat the history. I want to go into a little greater depth as we look at the first ghost of past liberalism. Now, of course, the second phase, and again, on down the road, continuing in this tour, we're going to see the many ways that this evil system has morphed into new and deceptive movements and churches and names. And of course, I've talked about that, again, touching on it, promising you eventually to go into more detail, which I will be doing. And so we want to, you know, look at the ghost of liberalism present as our second point. Again, not covering that today, just setting up the outline. Included in that, I will take you on a tour, so to speak, to several liberal-type churches and movements and seminars and things, even cities that I've explored and investigated over the years, including liberal churches, as they say, progressive churches, so-called. Inclusive is another term, inclusive churches, red-letter Christian-type churches, emergent contemplative churches and movements, and then, of course, and this is really for the third point, but the interfaith movement, the ecumenical movement, as I've discussed in some detail in the past. Again, we'll be looking a little bit deeper into some of these things. Now, actually, I wanted to comment that I found one of the churches I visited when I lived in Tulsa. I had traveled to the greater Kansas City area where the Unity School of Christianity cult is headquartered. And I visited there several times over the years, but on one occasion I found this book. On another occasion, this just popped in my head, and I've got his picture of his face in my mind. I'm trying to think of, oh my gosh, what is his name? Well, and maybe it'll come back in a minute. Anyway, I'll stick with where I'm going. I found this book called A New Spiritual Home, Progressive Christianity at the Grassroots. Progressive Christianity at the Grassroots. And you notice I used the term progressives earlier by a guy named Hal Tosig. I do not recommend the book unless you want to use it to go find some of these liberal churches and try to witness to them or find out more of how the devil is working through these groups. But I found one, actually, and as I say, when I was living in Joel Osteen, it just came to me, Joel Osteen, I found one of his books also in the Unity School of Christianity bookstore. And, you know, as I say, this is a New Thought, New Age type neo-Gnostic cult. So very interesting, the books on liberalism, book on one of Joel Osteen's book, who's very much very similar to some of the new thought ideas. That's why he's so often invited back to Oprah, I suppose, on her show. But one of the churches that I visited in Tulsa directly as a result of finding this book was called Fellowship Congregational Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I paid it, you know, a little visit there. That's one of the groups that I'll be commenting on in future podcasts and future episodes. Just to whet your appetite, so to speak, I've mentioned to you before the All Saints Episcopal Church up in Pasadena, California. They had their own labyrinth you could walk, you know, which, you know, put yourself into a altered state of consciousness and, you know, do away with the need from reading the Bible or anything like that, because you get your spirituality walking around in a maze type device. But anyway, visited there when I lived in the Southern California, the Pasadena area there. Fellowship Congregational Church I mentioned in Tulsa. I had the opportunity, also living in California, and I've mentioned this before, Grace Cathedral in the San Francisco area, where Bishop Pike was notorious for some of his activities. In New York City, I visited the famous St. John, the Cathedral, forgive me, of St. John the Divine in New York City. All of these extremely liberal, very popular, of course, with the world, with unbelievers, etc. The Cornerstone Festival, I visited there many, many times back, over the years, back when they were actually sound. And then less, as they became less sound and more liberal. But this was a festival that went on in Chicago, hosted by the Jesus People USA for many years. They, of course, had their own labyrinth and had some other things later. In Louisville, a friend of mine, a co-ministry friend of mine for our ministry, originally took me to an interfaith type group over there. This has been many years ago. I don't even know if I have much information on that. And again, I'm not going into details at this time. Just wanted to lay the outline here. Wet your whistle a little. Also, near Louisville, he took me to the Bellarmine, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, Bellarmine University. And at that university, there is the Thomas Merton Center. And, of course, so I picked up lots of literature on that, and you've heard me speak. If you followed this my series at all, you've heard me talk about Thomas Merton and his involvement with centering prayer, contemplative spirituality, or Catholic mysticism, of which he was. And then in New Harmony, Indiana, of course, they have at the Barn Abbey, they have pictures of Thomas Merton there. They have labyrinths you can walk there. I went to a Renovare meeting in Tulsa, which is another contemplative, the author of that, the head of that organization, his name escapes me. He's a very popular author over the years in Christian circles. He was a professor at Fuller Seminary. But anyway, more details in the future on all of this. And then in my hometown, I went to an interfaith meeting where I found, of course, it was the school is United Methodist Church, and you've heard me go on and on about just how liberal that particular denomination is. So I won't say a whole lot more about it there, except that I found I was able to get a hold of several magazines that were either called Upper Room or the publishing company is called Upper Room, and perhaps the magazine had a different name. But I'll have all those details next time around when we look deeper into some of these field trips that I went on. And then, of course, there was one other that I have in my notes here. I had an opportunity to do a missionary trip and some speaking opportunities when I went over to England. I was also in Northern Ireland, but this particular church was in England. It was an Anglican church, which is the English version of our Episcopal church. It's the sister denomination, and though there are some born-again Anglicans and some born-again Episcopals, they're really far and few between nowadays, as these are very, very liberal churches. And a friend had taken me to a church there, and I won't go into detail, but he showed me this. I picked up a newsletter there. It was very interesting, a layman who was given the opportunity to write a large article about his view of God, and it was basically just New Age, very similar to the United Methodist Church pastor whose book, The Spirit of Synergy, that I've spent so much time showing the New Age, the just hardcore New Age aspects of this so-called Christian published book. And this was very similar. This particular gentleman in the Anglican Church that I had visited. In fact, I'm pretty sure, if I remember, it's been several years ago, we visited the city where the man of God who wrote Amazing Grace, and you'll have to forgive me, I didn't get enough sleep last night. I'm forgetting these famous names. At least I remember the name of the hymn. Maybe I'll get this by the end of my podcast, but I'm sure you all know who wrote Amazing Grace. Anyway, he took me to his church where he wrote that so many years ago, and also John Bunyan's church. And I'm pretty sure that this very church where he pastored and wrote Amazing Grace hundreds of years ago was the same church where I found this extremely liberal New Age article in this article, in this newsletter from this liberal dead apostate or dying church, I guess I could say. So, a lot of little field trips here I'll take you on, a lot of little journeys in the upcoming podcasts. And then, of course, we want to look at, also in the future, the ghost of liberalism yet to come, or the ghost of liberalism future. And, as surely as God's word has predicted that the coming harlot church, or the one world religion that we're told about in Revelation chapter 17, I want to once again comment on the creation of this future harlot church that God describes as a harlot, because this is not his bride. This is not Christ's bride. The falling away of the church, the apostasy of the church, will help, of course, be the core for this harlot church. And the harlot, of course, speaking to its infidelity. The harlot church will not be Christ's bride, not his faithful bride, his faithful church, but it will be a combination of, I believe, a great deal of liberalism, the Catholic Church, and then, the pagan religions, the false religions of this world. And that's where interfaith and ecumenism and inclusive, well, not so much inclusivism maybe, but the interfaith movement trying to go one step beyond ecumenism of joining all the professing churches together as one. But also, let's just bring in all these non-Christian groups as well. That was something that Thomas Merton was all about. That was one of his main thrusts as he reached out to the Tibetan Buddhists and tried to somehow find the common ground of meditation in their group and in his own group, which, of course, was the Catholic mysticism. I forgot the particular order, the Catholic order that he was in. But anyway, we'll get to all those kind of details on down the road. And I guess it's sort of appropriate, excuse me, that, the Lord led me to term this the ghost of liberalism past, present, and future, because it indeed will involve seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, or ghosts, if you will. I don't believe in ghosts, but I certainly do believe in deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And so this falling away, this apostasy that's coming, we want to look at some of the ways that this is taking place, in addition to what I've already shared in the past. Getting back to, I commented on the election and how thankful I am for having, at least apparently some more freedom and free time and freedom period to share our faith and to have some of our freedom still intact. I want to make another quote from, it's a quote really that's right next to the quote I just read from J. Gresham Machen. And I may have said this before, I don't know. Anyway, by the way, both of these quotes come from a document, a fold-out chart called 33 Major Doctrinal Errors Found in Churches Today. And unfortunately, I think that this 33 major doctrinal errors found in churches. Fold out probably isn't found in churches today or in bookstores, but you know, you might look for it. It's compiled by a gentleman by the name of Fred Kerr, K-E-R-R. It's a layman's guide, very helpful. I got it many years ago at the Bible college that I attended when I went back to visit. But anyway, I wanted to give credit to that. I've quoted from it before. This other quote here, it says, "Current liberal theology has splintered into factions which echo left-wing political causes such as feminism, gay rights, minority rights, socialism, New Age, environmentalism, and globalism." And of course, this is the problem with liberalism or theological liberalism. They're not, they can't keep it strictly in the area of religion. Of course, they want to promote this in the political vehicle and try to impose these oppressive heresies and false teachings and ungodly beliefs and movements and whatnot upon us all through law, through the rule of law, most of which of these things are against God's law. But nevertheless, and the last comment, of course, of that quote where it says, splintered into factions which echo left-wing political causes. And what's the last one that's mentioned? Well, the last three, New Age, environmentalism, and globalism. And of course, this is an older, much older pamphlet here. And this was before global warming was a term that was used by the left to try to attack capitalism. And I don't want to get into politics too much here. But the main thing I wanted to point out was, you know, the New Age that they mentioned here, socialism, New Age, environmentalism, and globalism. And of course, globalism, it would of course give us not only this one world religion that we've talked about, but a one world government, an oppressive one world government. We know it's coming. We know that Antichrist will be wielding his power and will have power in such a way that where he will have temporary control and power over the world system with the help of the devil and liberal henchmen. Not just liberal, but I think it will be liberal mostly by the fact that it will be some type of a socialist setup, because there'll be no competition. You know, you'll not get anything unless you have to buy or sell by taking the mark of the beast and being part of this system. So it's not going to be a free competition in the marketplace type of deal. The government's going to be, Big Brother's going to be in charge. So, and you know, thank God we know that Christ is going to take his people, his church, his bride out of this world. And of course, I believe that's going to take place before the Antichrist comes. We may face persecution of some degree. The Bible says we'll face some, but basically, I don't say that to bring fear to anyone that we see these things taking place. I say that to say, praise God. You know, as the birth pangs will be coming, as the, you know, in this world, as the problems are going to continue to come, as it seems to get darker and darker, lift up your heads and rejoice, for your redemption draws near. Jesus is coming, and God is just marking off another event off his prophetic calendar. So I look forward to digging into more of the details of the ghost of liberalism, past, present, and future, or yet to come. Kind of like the way that sounds better, you know, because we know Jesus is yet to come too, and he will come. I run out of time before I run out of material, but honestly, I have to say, I think I'm going to close now, and I look forward, as I say, to examining some of these other things in the future. God bless you all. I hope you all have a wonderful time remembering, you know, the reason for the season of Christmas, that we remember the Lord who came as a baby, but he came for the purpose to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who came to die on that cross to take our place, to be judged, actually, for our sins, so that we will not be judged eternally for our sins. And by the way, I think of the scripture in Corinthians, and I guess I'll close with that. I didn't write down the scripture reference. I'm just quoting it pretty much from memory. But the Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened so that we'll not be condemned with the world. Thank God there is no condemnation for you. If you're in Christ Jesus, there is none. Any condemnation that's coming to you would be coming from the devil. He's a liar from the beginning, and he will always try to condemn you. But if you're a child of God, there is no condemnation. And if you'll judge yourself, you won't be judged. But when you are judged, God will chasten you so that you won't be condemned, so that you will not experience the condemnation that this world will experience for rejecting God's love gift, for rejecting the only means of having salvation, the only means of coming before God pure and clean through the blood of Jesus Christ, able to enter into heaven and to live forever with Jesus, with God, in paradise.